And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray and rock god Rick Maxa.
Welcome back. Hour number two. Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Pete Gray here. Rock god Rick Maxa here too. And we have Captain Dave Hansen, your saltwater guy. We're having a great time talking some fishing here.
This guy talks fishing and lives fishing and breathes fishing and he fishes all the time. And we're having a great time. We want to hear from you. If you want to talk fishing with the man, Dave Hansen, we want to hear from you this morning. It's been a very busy morning on the phones. Our local line, which is 858-457-1090, is totally packed up. But we do have an opportunity for you to get through on our toll-free number. That one's 877-792-1090. Again, 877-792-1090. Not only are you going to get a chance to talk to Dave, you also might be one of the very lucky callers. And thank you so much again to Dave and to the folks up at Akuma. We're giving away some great prizes today. One lucky caller is going to win an Akuma Cortez 5-reel, brand new reel going to one lucky caller. And then another lucky caller is also going to win that Akuma Cortez 5, which is a great local inshore reel, kitchen kelp patty, yellowtail, and all your inshore fishing. Another, in addition to that, Cortez is also going to win a one-year Fish Dope membership. So very cool prizes. Again, wow. If you want to get through, 858-457-1090 or 877-792-1090.
I have another question for Captain Dave, because my goal is, if we do get another shot at those big ones, I want to get that down. That whole kite fishing and the yummy fishing and stuff like that. How fast?
We're trolling at 8 knots.
8 knots.
8 knots.
Because you hear a lot of guys going 10 knots, 12 knots, 11 knots, 9 knots. 8 knots was your...
8 knots is what I was told, and I've done everything.
Obviously,
I'm
you caught a
told.
Lot of fish. So.
Not broke, don't fix it.
Right. I can't come off of the kite that I used, the Bob Lewis lightweight kite. I can't come off of the Braid Yummy Flyer. I can't. Until it stops working, I got to keep doing it. 8 knots has been our... I saw guys going way faster. I saw guys going way slower. 8 knots work for me.
Okay.
Does Dave like a helium balloon, or do you just like just the straight Bob Lewis kite?
Nope. We have a balloon on it all the time because that allows me to turn.
Yeah.
Because I got to be able to tack back. Remember, we were grinding it up, so we're going back and forth, back and forth. If you got to be able to tack. You got to be able to turn. If I don't have that, when I turn... The kite starts to fall into the water, and then we're not fishing.
Yeah.
That balloon makes all the difference in the world.
Okay. That's key.
For us.
Yeah.
For us.
Makes it a lot easier, especially if there's 40 boats out there joining you throughout the day. Like, if you're not turning into the wind, your kite falls. If you're turning away from the wind, your kite goes away. If you're turning into the wind, but that means you can only go one direction when you need to. And if there's 40 boats out there also trying to grind it up, you need some maneuverability. You need to be able to stop when you need to. When you do hook a fish, you can just stop everything, and eventually that kite will settle straight above you. If you got not a lot of hands on the deck and not a lot of crew to work with, I mean, the balloon makes life a whole lot easier. Helps
wind,
you get it up.
Wind
when
or
less
no
wind.
Wind?
Got to have wind.
No, I mean, even with the balloon with the kite.
Yeah, we have it in.
There's a lot of wind.
We have it on always.
Always.
Just because that's one ingredient in the pie that, if you don't put that one ingredient in, I'm not going to feel confident. If you don't feel confident with what you put up there, you're probably not going to get a bite.
Yeah.
The one thing, too, with the balloon is it will certainly aid you in getting the kite up when there's little to no wind. The one thing that it won't do, though, is you still need the wind to get that thing flying outboard
of
the wake. You know, I mean,
gotta
you can
get out of the wake.
You can S-curve and do all kinds of things, and we've made some super funky maneuvers and caught a fish or two when it's glassy and no wind. But the reality is you need... You've got
to
have it.
Wind
you've
to
got
get
to
that
have
thing
it.
Outside the wave.
Yep.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and can you fish a balloon on the Boston, or it's got to be
not
either the AFCO or the Bob Lewis?
You need a. I mean, can you kind of, but no. You need a rigid square frame kite. You know, whether it's an AFCO, a Lewis, an SFE. I mean, there's all kinds of them there, but it's got to be a rigid square kite.
There you go. All right. Let's jump into the phones. 877-792-1090, the only line available right now.
Yeah, phones are packed up. This is a great opportunity to get through. Let's talk to Chris. He's calling us from Vista this morning. Hey, Chris, welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, Fisherman.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, love you guys' show. First-time caller. Moved back from Hawaii. I've been over in Hawaii for 35 years,
nice.
Fishing over there for jacks. But, Dave, got a question. We've been fishing. I got a boat over there. My son fishes it. We've been hooking some big yellowfin. Like 230 pounds is my big one last
nice.
Year. But again, like 160s, 180s. You talked about taking them downwind, somebody downswell. Another guy called in, you kind of went over it. But our fish get in those death circles. I mean, we're fishing Tiagra 80s. It still took me an hour and a half to bring that fish in.
Right, and if you could keep them out of that death circle and just keep walking the boat. If you're on the anchor or something, you can't do any of that. But over there in Hawaii, you guys are usually fishing pretty deep water, so you're not anchored. So you can start to walk that fish down swell, and it'll take that death circle where he's right there on the corner just going around in circles, around
really?
In circles. If you just keep the boat bumping ahead, it's going to keep that line off the back of the boat. And then as he starts to turn and he gets to the edge of that turn, that line's going to jerk his head up. Once he starts to come and you keep pushing the boat down swell, he's going to keep just walking him right up to the surface because you got his nose pointed up. You stop and he gets his nose back down. Now he's back in that circle again, going around in circles, and it's just a standoff. You got to get that boat going down swell so you can walk that fish up.
Now, you have to be fishing heavy enough gear to be able to drag a fish that's literally 200 pounds. But, you know, over on, you know, where you're fishing, and especially if you're fishing 80s, you should have the ability to do that. You can't do that with 40 pound, but when
no,
you hook those fish
no,
like Dave's
can.
Talking about, you know,
yeah,
you can.
Yeah, we put them into the rod holders. We cannot stand up and fight those. It's breaking, almost cracking the wall of my boat, man.
That's awesome.
Well,
yeah.
There's some good hint for you there. Next time, just downswell and just bump it ahead and get that fish planed up, and you get them in 15 minutes.
I would say there's times when we're like, I mean, I don't want to make it sound like we're doing 20 knots or anything, but there's times we're putting some throttle to it, keeping everything tight and keeping that fish dragging. Like, if a boat like Dave's just into gear is so much torque and a lot of things on a little skiff, I mean, sometimes we're above just idle. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like we're flying or anything, but you've got to plane them. That's what you're doing, is you're using the boat to not allow that fish to go down, to only go up.
And a lot of times that fish is trying to get up into the wheels. So he's headed for the bottom of your boat anyway. You've got to kick it ahead to get him out of from underneath.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want him under your boat.
Hope that helps, Chris. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
How about we jump right back in and talk to Jim, who's calling us from National City this morning. Hi, Jim. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, Jim.
So, Dave, last year I got a chance to hear you speak over there at the Valley High at the club meeting. And, man, I'll tell you, you know, in Southern California where we get force-fed with this political correctness, you are a breath of fresh air for me. I enjoyed that talk so much there, and I'm just glad I ran into Dave Hansen, and, you know, you'll always be at the top of my list when it comes to seminars, talks, whatever. Whenever I get a chance to see you, I'll be there, buddy, because I enjoyed that night so much.
Well, thank you very much.
That's all I got to say, Dave, and looking forward to seeing you at the Fred Hall this year. Okay?
All right. We'll
Bye.
Be there.
Thanks,
Jim. Appreciate the call this morning. Yeah, it's true. It's if you haven't seen a Captain Dave comedy show, it's it's
there's no PC.
We're trying to make fishing great again, one dead fish at a time.
I like it. All right. How about next up, we talk to Bob. He's calling us from Huntington Beach this morning. Hey, Bob, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Question for Captain Dave there.
Okay.
Would you do swordfish trips out at the island? And what is the biggest fish you've had on board that boat?
Okay, we are learning to do this deep drop swordfish. We brought Bobby Boyle, RJ Boyle from Florida, the guy that kind of invented this whole thing. We brought him out, fished with him for 3 days on our boat. He kind of took me to school. We slowed everything down, and he showed us exactly how they do it on the East Coast. And we have all the proper stuff, and we've done it probably 10 times now. And our claim to fame is our very first day we tried it, we got 147-pound OPA in 1,800 feet of water in front of White Rock at San Clemente Island. The bait was only – we were fishing at 1,800 feet of water, but the bait was only at 600 feet when it got bit by the OPA. And I've never, in all the years I've been doing this, I never saw an OPA before alive. So it was pretty spectacular. Oh.
Did you think it was a sword the whole time you were fighting it?
Well, no, because we had Bobby there. And he told me right away it wasn't a sword because of the way it was fighting.
Yeah.
But we're trying really hard to get this thing dialed in. I know there's some guys that are very, very successful in a deep drop type of situation right now that are still catching swordfish today, right now. They're still catching them. Top secret stuff that's happening out there. But this deep drop thing, it's going to explode here on the West Coast because now we're starting to learn technique and it's working. There's guys actually catching deep drop swordfish in Southern California. So, yes, 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 yes. I'd be more than happy to take you out there and do it.
The success of the commercial style deep set buoy gear fishery has for sure proven that, look, it is a viable thing. They bite out here, and it's just a matter of time until guys like Dave and guys that are doing it all the time really get it refined. I mean, there are people that go out in private boats that have targeted and caught swordfish, and the success that those deep set buoy guys have is no denying. There has been some crazy good scores, especially as of late, and it's just a matter of time until, you know, that gets totally refined for private boat fishing. And I would bet within the next 3 to 5 years that's something that all of us do with regularity and with success.
Absolutely.
Hey, I like it. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. That does free up 877-792-1090. It's been a busy morning. I want to have a chance to win one of two Akuma reels and a one-year subscription of fishdope.com. There's your chance.
All right. How about we talk to John? He's calling us from Escondido this morning. Hi, John. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
What's up, John?
Hey, Dave, if we go over to Catalina or San Clemente to go lobster fishing,
yes.
Can we get an extended day permit from Department of Fish and Game?
Yes.
So that if we go past midnight, we can maximize our catch?
Right. What you have to do is you have to go to the Fish and Game office there in Seal Beach.
And or you can go, actually go to the one right in Kearney Mesa, too.
Oh, yeah, if you're down here in San Diego. But he was talking about going to Catalina.
Yeah.
If we're coming out of San Diego to go to Catalina, it's going to be like a 100-mile
trip. He's pulling it up or something.
No, no, I would come up to Dana Point where you go out of. But I live down here in San Diego, so
right.
I would do like he said and go to Kearney Mesa.
Okay, and you just go in there and you get a multi-day permit, and you just tell them what time you're leaving and what time you plan on being back, and then they make the according to how many days you're going to be out there. And I think you can have up to 3 days of limits of lobsters for a three-day permit, but you can't have more than seven a day.
Yeah. So what you do is you can print the actually online. You can print the form online on the DFG or DFW
or
whatever it is. Print it, fill it out, take it into the local, whatever your local DFW, DFG, or whatever the thing is. Office, pay the fee. It's a minimal fee,
and then
you have your permit. But you have to pay the fee. You have to have it stamped in the office,
and you have to spend a certain amount of time on the water, you know, per day. Like you said, you know, Dave said you have seven lobsters per day. You don't. That doesn't mean you can catch seven before midnight, seven right after midnight, and then go straight home. You have to spend a certain, you know, it'll all be spelled out on your permit. But you don't get to just take two limits in one night and just jam home.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So as long as you follow the permits and abide by it, you can 14 apiece in a 2-day trip. Be good times. All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right. How about next up? We talk to Tony. He's calling us from San Marcos this morning. Good morning, Tony. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I heard that Dave was on the radio this morning. I had to get out of the emergency room really quick so I can make a phone call in. I was getting a breathing treatment over there. That's how dedicated I am to the show.
Hey, I like that, Tony.
The guest. Yeah, so doing a little better, though.
Good.
Good
hey,
for you,
Dave,
Tony.
I just want to ask you, because I listen to your report every week when you call in. Can you narrow down one particular day or two that was most exciting for you in 2017 on the water?
Absolutely. It was when that fish had moved out to the butterfly.
The bluefin.
That big bluefin. It moved out to the butterfly. And the weather said that it was going to be small craft at best with possible a gale in the afternoon.
Oh,
and we got out there right at gray light. And I saw the fleet all drifting. They've been in that night zone fishing thing. We got above the fleet We didn't even get the yummy out. We were letting the line out. We got bit. And then for the next seven hours until it was too rough, it was full speed. We were getting bit, letting it out, letting it skip across the surface. We were getting bit. It was just the most insane thing. The boat was in it was so rough. We had a gallon of orange juice flying all over in the salon. The whole boat was full of blood. We had two processed bluefin on the deck, one half processed, and two more laying there, and one hooked up. And my deckhand looked up to me, and he says, "Hey, can I just call a timeout?"
That's cool.
Yeah, wow. That day is going to go down. We talk about it all the time when we're out fishing, me and my buddy Mike.
And when was that? What time of the year?
That was in September.
September.
Yeah, that was in September.
Do you remember what the big fish was that day?
209.
Nice.
209.
200 pounder laying on the deck.
Wow, what a day.
So cool. Hey,
six of them.
And it was, and you were 60 miles from home.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
So cool.
And that's 3 hours.
Yeah. In that weather?
In that weather.
Really?
With those fins, that boat eats the ocean. Wow. It's hard to stand up when it's that gnarly. But once you start cruising, the boat eats it.
Wow.
Big, heavy hatteras. It just eats that water.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Thanks a lot for the
Tony, feel better, buddy. Appreciate that very much. Hey, let's talk to Don. Excuse me, Don. Don's calling us from Woodland Hills this morning. Hey, Don, welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Great show as always. And Captain Dave, you're always a pleasure and a lot of fun to listen to.
A pleasure?
Thank you.
Question for you. What's a couple of your favorite ways to fish halibut here off the coast?
Well, I do it different than everybody else. I like to use a sliding sinker, and I use just a slider. That way I have total contact with my bait at all times. I have a slider going straight down to the hook, and I'm going to use whatever slider I can, the least amount of weight I can, to get to the bottom. So right now you're fishing in 120 feet of water. I'm using like a 3-ounce slider. And then as I get it, the stuff starts to move into the shallows here in the spring, we're going to go down to maybe a 3/4 ounce or a 1/2 ounce slider, whatever it takes to get that bait down to the bottom so that it has contact with the bottom all the time. Once we get to where the wind starts to blow and you get a white cap, I'm not fishing for halibut anymore. It's too hard to keep your bait on the bottom. I like about 4 to 6 knots of wind, downhill current, downhill wind, and the least amount of weight that you can possibly get away with. Now, I know there's a million other ways to do it, and I know everybody's got their way. That's how I like to do it.
You have an opportunity to put any bait on the line that you could. You have an opportunity at anchovies and sardines and squids and mackerel and everything. If you had your druthers, what would be the bait that you're pinning on that rig?
Grunion.
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 Okay.
That's my favorite bait. Okay. That's gold. Those are gold. Everything eats grunion. Grunion's the best bait. No one has them, but you have to go to the beach and catch them yourself. And what we do is we go down there and we catch a bunch of them and we put them in Ziploc bags and we use those.
It's your
for
limit,
bait.
Right?
Yeah, your limit of grunion. Get only limit. Only whatever the limit is. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, all I got.
That's all I got. Whatever that number is, that's exactly what
I can
you
only
said.
Be honest, Pete. I'm sorry.
Dave, that just makes you, Dave.
That's politically correct, as always.
That's right. All right. Cool. And so they're frozen grunion?
Yeah, frozen dead grunion.
No kidding.
They're gold. I took John Pratt, the captain of the bait boat. Buck was talking about him yesterday. John Pratt and I went fishing on my skiff. Now, John had just brought in a load of anchovies, which by far is my very most favorite bait in the world for live bait. Anchovies, I can catch anything in the ocean. The only reason people don't like them is because they don't know how to cast. But that's a different seminar. We'll talk about that later. I told John, I said, we don't even need any bait. They're biting these things. And he's all, what? And I go, yeah, these frozen grunion. Now, this is the captain of the bait boat. We're using dead bait. Now, he's
almost insulting at this point.
Right. And he started out using his anchovies. And I was like 4-1 or 4-none. And he was like, I'm going to try that. Then it was him and I. We went through 200 of them in about 45 minutes. And it was as insane bass fishing as it could be. Every time the bait hit the water, you got one. Dead as dead could be. Fly line grunion dead.
Wow, no
Unbelievable.
Kidding. That's a cool story.
Crazy.
I like it.
Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup. Can we remind you, this portion of the show is sponsored in part by Anza Knives, handcrafting knives in San Diego County for over 30 years. And the knives are made from high-carbon steel, which holds a great edge and is much easier to sharpen. They offer a variety of fillet knives, as well as hunting, general-purpose, and one-of-a-kind collector knives. Once you try an Anza knife, you'll be hooked. Check AnzaKnives.com for more details. That's ANZA Knives.com. And you can see Don from Anza Knives at the Crossroads of the West Gun Show. That's January 27th and 28th in Costa Mesa. More Let's Talk Hookup when we return on the Mighty 1090.
This is Greg Stotesbury from AFCO. For more than 58 years, the American Fishing Tackle Company has been recognized as the premier manufacturer of precision-built offshore fishing tackle. AFCO continues this tradition today with an innovative technical fishing clothing line designed and built by fishermen for fishermen. From our next-generation waterproof shorts like Tactical or Stealth to our new anhydrous waterproof jacket and bibs, the entire AFCO clothing line is purpose-built with the latest AFTEC fabrics and features designed to deliver for the demanding angler. To find AFCO products, go to AFCO.com and find a dealer near you.
Are you feeling that itch to get out on the water? Come fishing on the American Angler and reacquaint yourself with some familiar faces and make new friends. Captain owners Brian Kiyohara and Sam Patella take pride in every aspect of the American Angler operation, from their loyal and trusted crew to the sashimi-grade fresh fish you'll take home. It's easy to find a vacation that fits your schedule. We have everything from day and a half to 10-day trips and longer. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. We want you to become a part of the American Angler family.
Hey, it's time for the Los Angeles Boat Show. It's coming up this Thursday through Sunday at the Fairplex in Pomona. It's so convenient. Anywhere in Southern California, you can reach the Fairplex in Pomona.
Yeah, January 18th through the 21st, you're going to get to see all the new models, all the latest in gear. It's such an awesome time at the Los Angeles Boat Show.
Indeed. Look for Defiance boats, Arima boats from Inland Boat Center. Look for Yamaha outboards with that great deal they have going on right now. Parker boats from West Coast Marine. Blue Seas Fabrication will have Sea Deck there. So much stuff to see at the Los Angeles Boat Show coming up this Thursday through Sunday.
Yep, starts at noon to 8, Friday and Saturday from 10 to 8, Sunday from 10 to 6. Admission's just $15. If you need more information or you want to purchase your tickets, losangelesboatshow.com.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now 19 stores and more to come throughout Southern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more. Fifth Avenue Insurance has a new name. It's Snap Insurance, still providing anglers and boaters with the best in boat insurance and the lowest rates. The experts at Snap Insurance will make sure your boat and property are covered right. Traveling to Mexico? Snap has you covered. You can even work with your agent to wrap your home and auto with your boat policy to save even more. Call them for advice on your current boat policy or any of your insurance needs. Snap Insurance, 800-527-6617 or snapins.com. That's SNAPPINS.com. It's time for Yamaha's The Key to Reliability sales event. For a limited time, purchase a new select eligible 2.5 to 300 horsepower four-stroke outboard and have your choice of either 2 free years of Yamaha extended service coverage or up to $1,500 in dealer credit. Reliability starts here. Yamaha. Visit your local Yamaha outboards dealer today. Offer ends March 31st, 2018. Subject to change at any time. Other restrictions and conditions apply. See authorized participating Yamaha outboard dealers for details. This promotion cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
XEBRS 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
San Diego's sports leader.
The home of ESPN Radio.
The Mighty 1090.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
So, sad incident to report here, Dave.
Yeah, my buddy Ryan up there at Portugal Sport Fishing, he has the boat Gale Force and the boat Triton. You can go on Ryan's Facebook page, GaleSportFishing.com. GaleForceSportFishing.com. Tuesday, in the middle of that rainstorm, two guys dressed in hoodies and went down onto the Triton, pried the engine room door open, went down into the engine room, and tried to break the through holes off of the bait system with sledgehammers. Left the sledgehammers in the boat when they were unable to get through the brass. And they took a knife out and cut the lines. So therefore, the boat started to flood. They jumped in their Jeep. It looks like a Jeep Cherokee type of vehicle or something. You can see it all on his website. And detectives are looking for these guys. They tried to sink the Triton at the dock there at Portugal in the middle of that rainstorm. And Ryan's just looking for anybody that might have any idea who these guys are. That's
or
all.
Why? I mean,
or what did they do this for? If Rick's looking at it right now on the Facebook page. Sledgehammers laying there, the line that's cut. It's the most unbelievable thing it's hard to even comprehend why someone would do this to someone's livelihood and a good, good, good guy like Ryan. So if anybody's got a chance, go to his Facebook page. Look, there's pictures of the guys on there. See if you can help, maybe help locate these knuckleheads.
Obviously somebody who'd had some knowledge of boats, too.
Right, because they went right after the thing that would cause the most damage.
Sure, and fortunately they were able to save the boat.
Yeah, the boat's going to be okay, according to Ryan.
Yeah.
There's some damage, but not a lot.
Good news.
All right.
877-792-1090. You want to get through to Cop to Captain Dave? Win an Akuma reel. There's your shot.
All right. Hey, let's jump right back into it. This time we're going to talk to John. He's calling us from San Diego this morning. John, thanks for hanging in there with us.
Good morning, guys. Wanted to ask Captain Dan, when you're getting close to landing these large bluefin, what kind of techniques and gear are you using to get the fish actually on board?
That's some good questions.
Well, here's, like I said, we're keeping the boat, never stop moving, even when it's time to gaff the fish, to bring it up proper to the side of the boat to inflict the gaff into the fish. We're going to keep the boat kicking down swell, keeping the boat moving the whole time. That fish, I tell my deckhands, don't dig for it. Wait till it's presented proper on the surface. And what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to hit him right in the pectoral fins, right in the middle of his chest. That rolls the fish over onto his back. The moment he rolls over on the back, there's no more movement. If you hit him in the tail or you hit him in the head, one gaff, that thing's probably going to rip the gaff out of your hand if you're not ready. But if you can hit him by yourself in the chest and flip him upside down, all movement stops. Now he's upside down alongside the boat. Your buddy can let go of the handle of the reel, grab the other gaff, and help you pull him on the boat. That's what we find is the most
good advice.
Bestest.
All right.
One thing that I bet Dave could comment on, just because you've spent so much time as a saltwater guide and the guys that also work for you spent so much time on other people's boats, is how important it is to have a gaff with an appropriate length of handle and hook size, especially if you're going for these big ones. You know, we saw that in the shop a lot of times. If you're trying to land a 200-pound tuna on your skiff, a 4-foot gaff with a 2-inch hook is not going to be sufficient.
Not at all. You're not going to even be able to reach that far into the water to get him in the chest. You're going to be doing a little gaff back shot through the skin or something. You have to be able to get that hook. And it has to be a big size hook on that gaff. And aluminum or good fiberglass or
the
good
AFCO
bamboo.
Gaff, that good AFCO.
Yeah, the AFCO gaff.
Love that gaff.
With a little bit of length on it, 6-7 foot,
yeah.
Something that you can actually get into the water.
I think length is so important on the gaff, too. And people will think, oh, I got a small boat, I don't need a big gaff. I mean, it takes 4 feet to get to the water. And if you want to be able to reach anywhere and be able to choke up on the thing, like, a 6-foot gaff for most boats would be the minimum length that's appropriate for what you're wanting to do. And we see all the time, you know, when I'm a guy who comes through the shop and always gravitate towards, you know, 4-footers and 3-footers because they might be easier to handle. But in the long run, you need some length out of that gaff.
Absolutely. You've got to be able to get in the water past the leader.
Yep, for sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Let's find out what's cooking. Yanni from fishermansbelly.com is on the line. Good morning, Yanni.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. God, and we're talking about tuna. Hey, listen, last week I was invited to speak at the San Diego Angling Club, and I got to tell you, it was just a great club, great group, and I got to encourage all the fishermen in SoCal to join a club. Just go to Google and Google SoCal fishing clubs, and there's plenty of them.
Good
club. But listen, everyone at the club seemed to have the same problem, and that is too much frozen tuna in their freezers. So that inspired my new recipe. All you have to do is grab some frozen tuna, grab some avocados, and grab some pickles. Watch my video, and you guys will end up with the most insane tuna, avocado, and pickle sandwich that you've ever, ever eaten. Believe me. And my new recipe is at fishermansbelly.com. Or you can go to my YouTube channel at Fisherman's Channel or Fisherman's Belly Channel.
Oh, man. Nice. And he sent me a picture. We'll have it up on our Angler's Table section of our letstalkhookup.com website very soon. It looks delicious, Yanni.
Is this like a tuna salad type sandwich, Yanni? Is this more of like a tuna filet? What kind of sandwich are we talking?
Yeah, you know what? That's a good question. It is a tuna salad type sandwich. And what's really great is you end up mashing the avocado just like you would in a guacamole, and you mix it with the tuna, so it's unbelievable.
Nice. That sounds killer.
Great. Yeah. All right. Fisherman'sBelly.com. Yanni, great job as always, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, fellas. Have a great day.
All right.
Thanks, Yanni.
That.
All right. Hey, let's jump right back into the phones. They're packed up. Bob in Simi Valley, you're up next with Captain Dave. What's up, Bob?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing this morning?
Great.
Great show.
Thank you.
I got a couple questions for Captain Dave. You know, I was wondering how much impact vibrations from the boat make on scaring fish away. And I guess particularly I'm wondering about the Sea Keeper. I guess that thing's like a giant gyroscope or something in a boat. Also, I was going to ask you if you would be willing to come up to the Ventura area to work, help Guy out on the boat.
Yeah, I've been up in the Ventura area before. It's like it has to be a two-day type of deal because it takes 4 hours to get up there normally. Now I can't even comprehend what it must be like with no roads to get there. Now that mudslide, it's got
to
be...
Well, you can get to Ventura, you just can't get to Santa
Barbara. Get past
Barbara.
Ventura.
Yeah.
Okay. But what was the first question again? I'm sorry. I got locked onto.
How much impact does, say, vibration of the boat have on scaring fish away, and in particular, impact of a Sea Keeper?
Like if you put a Sea Keeper on, the noise and such like that?
Well, perfect example. Our good friend, you guys, Pete Grosbeck, Sea Keeper. His boat that he was running, the Sea Bandit, and again the Sea Bandit this year, it has Sea Keeper. It was one of the first big boats to get the Sea Keeper here on the West Coast. Tournament, keeps winning the Bisbees, keeps winning, keeps placing in the Bisbees, keeps winning massive amounts of money. So that tells you right there that Sea Keeper is not really affecting anything because those blue and black marlin are coming right up on that boat and eating the bait, and that Sea Keeper never gets turned off. As far as bluefin go, yeah, they're very susceptible to the sound of the noise of the. But I'm telling you what, I ran sport boats for a long time with my father, and we make more noise than anybody. I mean, we got two bathroom doors slamming. You got a guy on the PA yelling your cheeseburger's ready, and you got people yelling and screaming, babies crying.
Generators, exhaust.
Two generators going, exhaust. We don't shut the motors off when we stop on a kelp patty, and the fish still bite. So. I think people put way too much into that noise thing. Now, it's Catalina, when the sea bass are biting in 25, 30 feet of water, yeah, you turn your bait pumps off and all that stuff. But I've also seen the sea bass bite as full speed as they can on a big steel boat called the First String with Bradley running it, catch 200 of them in 15 minutes. So,
with the motors running and generators flying.
Yeah, and it's made out of steel, so you drop a hook on the deck and it echoes into the ocean. So.
And who's to say what's making more noise, the Sea Keeper, which makes virtually no noise, or that boat slapping around and the swim step slapping water and things moving around because your boat's, you know, now rocking and rolling where, you know, where with the gyro turned on, that boat's dead still. So
who's Sea Keeper's not going
to
work without the generator on.
Right.
So there goes your noise. Yeah. The generator's drowning out any noise that's made by the Sea Keeper. You can't even hear it.
Sea Keeper is 70 decibels.
Okay.
So when, like, I turn it on the boat with shore power on, and you can hear it. Oh, there's no question about it. 70 decibels is 70 decibels. It's kind of, I don't know what to akin it to, but once you turn the generator on, you don't hear it.
Right.
Yeah. So
there he goes.
Because and I have a super quiet generator. I have a brand new generator that's got a box around it and stuff like that, which all you can hear is the water coming out of the stern. So it's like kind of water coming out of the exhaust and the Sea Keeper, kind of about the same amount of noise. So
got it.
There you go. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
With all that said, would you go back?
No.
Having a Sea Keeper? No way.
No,
no way.
It's like ridiculous.
That's like I think that's one of the stipulations of Dave going on your boat is now it's got to have at least a stabilizer.
Got to have some type of stabilizer.
Yeah, stabilizing system, right?
I don't want my coffee falling over.
You know,
And
that's the thing about the Sea Keeper is it's revolutionized.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's
it's
going on
crazy.
Here? Everybody that comes on my boat start scratching their head going, how can I put this on my
boat?
It's
the truth,
you know?
Man.
It's
right.
Like, yeah, that's it.
And once you've stepped on a boat, it just for the rest of the time that you're on a boat that's not stabilized, it's just like, what are we
savages?
What
am I doing here?
Yeah.
What am I doing here?
Yeah. That will be another thing that, you know, it'll take a while because costs and all these things, but that will be another thing that every boat has at some point.
Yeah, when a manufacturer, once the Seakeeper comes out with the Seakeeper 2, which comes out this year, mm-hmm. Which is going to take care of boats from 25 to 30 feet, like your boat.
Right.
You could put one in. And it's battery operated, so don't need a generator. Once that comes out, it'll be from a 25-foot boat up to a 150-foot boat, it'll be an accessory that you can add when you're building a boat.
Yeah, it'll be like air conditioning in a car.
Right.
It's going to get to the point, and I'm not saying it'll happen tomorrow or the next day, but it'll get to a point where there's just not a boat that's made that doesn't have it, that goes into the ocean.
Pretty much.
It just won't. It's just that key of a piece of gear.
Yeah, amazing. Like having a pair of gyro binoculars, right, Dave?
Absolutely. Would you fish without them?
Totally. How many years ago? 5 years ago, maybe? Gyros? Well, who
right.
has those, right?
And
now, who doesn't have them?
Right.
That fishes hard.
Yeah, that if you fish for a living, you better have a pair, at least one,
yeah,
maybe
fish for
two.
A living, or if you spend, you know, a couple $100 every time you go fishing on fuel.
If you value right. your time and value your ability to catch fish, you can't put a price tag on it. I mean, trust me, this is coming from a guy that doesn't make a ton of dough, and I have a 25-foot boat, and we have two pairs of Fraser Volpes on our boat because it's just you can't put a price tag on what they do for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Got to just figure out a way to make it happen.
You bet. Hey, let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
Kevin in San Clemente, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. What's up, Kevin?
Good morning, Glenn. This question is for Pete and Rick. Would you be surprised to know that when Dave, he brought up sport fishing boats, he had punishments if you didn't get up to make bait in the morning, if you didn't get up to make mackerel, he had punishments. He would take a full scoop of anchovies down and he would dump it on your head. I know he's mellowed out a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you gotta get up and do your part and make your bait.
Yeah, I'm with Dave. Nothing makes me madder than somebody that won't get out of bed to make mackerel. And then they're always the first guys at the tank.
Grab a bait. Yeah, of course.
First guys at the tank the next morning. It's like, are you kidding me?
There's a charter group that does the Royal Star every year, and they always make up T-shirts, you know, for every guest on their thing. And then there's a picture of a mackerel in the back, and it says in big letters across the top, if you don't get up to make mackerel, and then there's a picture of a bait, and then at the bottom it says, you don't get to use mackerel. And you know, like you say, there's nothing more. I don't want to get up at 2 a.m. to go jig bait. I can promise you that. But you know what? You do it every time because that's what it takes.
Got to do it.
Hey, appreciate
sure.
the phone
Thanks
call. How about next up, we jump back into him and talk to Rory, who's calling us from Wildomar. What's up, Rory? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, Rick. Yesterday, I called you in about all the bait and all that. I'm out of Dana Point. I go out of Dana Point, and there's a red pole, the red buoy, that you go down about, I'd say a quarter mile, and you're about 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I can't tell you more that it would be, we get 15, 16 mackerel, and that's after we've baited up, and then we'd go out. But the question is that for Dave Hansen, I'm computer illiterate on my boat, and I need you to get on my boat so you can set it up right. I've got the sonar, I've got sonar, the GPS, but all the things are on the.
You need to figure out how. You need to somebody to show you how to use all your gadgets. That's what it is, Dave.
I'm the guy.
You do that, right?
That's what I do. I'm on it. Like I said, I was on 142 different boats last year. What we do is you don't have to read that manual. That doesn't make sense anyway. We just show you what buttons you need, what buttons you don't. I tell everybody, film it on your smartphone. Everybody's got a phone with a camera on it. Film what I'm showing you so you can always look back on it. Just figure out a day, give me a call, and I'll be more than happy to help you.
YourSaltwaterGuide.com, phone number, emails, right on there.
Right, exactly. Just go to the website. You can check it all out. Or if you don't, 949-374-0786.
One more time.
949-374-0786.
There you go. Thanks a lot for the call this morning, Rory.
Kenny in Hawaiian Gardens, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, morning, guys.
Morning.
On your lobster trips, I suppose you guys do some calico bass fishing in the dark. And what would your go-to lobster bait be? And what gear do you use?
Okay, what I use is whatever they have at the bait barge that's alive. Anchovies or sardines. And I'm using the seal-proof tubes. I don't use the cages because of the California sea lions, which aren't a problem, but for me, they seem to be a problem. They follow me everywhere I go. And so I'm using those seal-proof tubes that are made by Promar. I'm using, and I'm filling them up with the sardines or the anchovies. Whatever they have that's the most freshest bait you could possibly get seems to work the best for me. The fresher, the better. I have two sets of tubes. I have 10. One goes in each hoop net, and then I have another 10 in a milk crate on the deck that we switch out about halfway through the night so that we're back in with fresh bait. And I know that's a lot of work, and it's a lot of stuff to do, and it's way easier just to leave that bait tube in there that doesn't have any bait in it. That way you don't have to worry about them pesky lobsters bugging you. But what we try to do is keep fresh bait in it all the time. It's a constant battle to make sure. A lot of times when you're over there at the island or you're on the coast and you're catching nothing in your hoop net, and then you look and your tube is filled up with those sand fleas. I got to move. When the sand fleas get on the bait, it seems like you don't catch any lobsters, so I move. I go to a different area. The bait that I love to use is sardines or anchovies, whatever they have live.
Chop it up, or you just...
Yeah, we just put a couple cuts in it and just keep filling the tube till it's stuffed full. Now, if I get over to the island and the bonita are biting, sure, I'll use a little bit of bonita in there. I used to think you weren't allowed to, but I talked to several of the fish and game guys, and they say that they have no problem with us using bonita as long as we're not using more than our limit. You got five guys on the boat, you can have, you know, five 25. Per person, you have 25. That's going to bait a lot of hoops.
Yeah.
So, but the freshest, the bait, the best. That those long antennas on the lobsters are set up to feel the electricity coming off of the bait when it just starts to decompose. Everything's got electrical field around it. I was told those antennas are for picking up the electrical field. Stinky, rotten bait is not the best. Fresh bait's the best.
There you go. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
That's great info right there. How about Kyle from Huntington Beach up next on Let's Talk Hookup? What's up, Kyle?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, yo, Kyle. Good morning.
Hello.
I was calling about a technique that I was actually shown from a gentleman, the troll for halibut. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Yep, my buddy's bounce ball for him, and it's deadly. It is the most deadly thing. You got to make sure your boat goes slow enough. It's just like fishing for salmon. You got big flashers. You have a big round ball. The thing's dragging in the mud, and that flasher's back behind it, a couple feet behind it, and then back behind the flasher is another little leader, and then at the end of that leader is like a hoochie skirt or something with your bait on it, and those halibut love to jump on that slow trolled bait on the bounce ball rig. So, yeah, I see a lot of people using it all the time.
Flasher attracts them to it.
Yeah, and it's very deadly.
Yep. For big ones, too.
Yeah, they get a lot of big fish.
It's a great way to cover area, but you need to have clean area to fish it. You know, the only downside to fishing a bounce ball rig is it can definitely be snaggy. So if you're in an area that's...
You like that, though, right? You have a tackle company.
Fisherman's Landing Tackle, we highly recommend.
You want you to drag them through the kelp,
fish
right?
Fish cobblestone. That's where you want to be. You want to be in that cobblestone.
You want to slow troll through the middle of the kelp.
But that's the only downside is, you know, you need to have clean fishing. You need to have, you know, not a lot of snags because just, you know, once you get stuff snagged up on your gear, you lose it. So if you got nice clean area, there's no better way to cover ground and you're hooking them on heavy line and bigger hooks and, you know, it's a good way to put them on the boat.
Indeed.
Okay, hey, he did that. Yeah. He did that also. But the reason I'm calling is he actually gave me one of the lures. It kind of looked like a bass lure. It's like a chrome bomber, if you know bass lures.
Yep.
Yeah.
And basically, he got it down to the bottom, but for whatever reason, he didn't put any weight on it. And I don't know. I might be using the wrong line or something, but I can't get the.
Maybe he's using lead core. That's a possibility, sure, too. I mean, there's a lot of guys that slow troll with lead core. And with lures on it.
Super effective.
Yeah, indeed. Hey, hope that helps you out. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right, jumping right back in. How about Bryce from Encinitas? Hi, Bryce. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
What's up, Rick? Quick question for you. Picked up a new boat last year. It's got Garmin Chirp technology. Just great electronics all around. The question I have is, I was watching a video from Jamie on Instagram, Seasons Sport Fishing. And on that video, you can hear that knocking of their transducer. What is that knocking, and why don't I hear the same on my boat?
What do you think,
well,
Dave?
Jamie on the on the big boat has a sonar.
Yeah, that's what sonar. That's what you're hearing.
So that's about $40,000 upgrade, and then you can hear that click, 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 click for just $40,000.
That's it?
So what that is an
side-scanning sonar.
Yeah, it's an audible noise from a searchlight sonar. So when that thing is kicking its pulse out, you're hearing the you know, that's it shooting that wave sideways. And when it hits something and returns back, it makes a, you know, a more solid noise. So it's just a way of being able to hear what's on the screen rather than just see it. So, you know, so Dave can look at his fathometer and look through his binoculars and look through all the other things while hearing what's going on in the sonar. And then when you have a positive return, it makes a different noise, so you know to
put
your binoculars down and see what's on the screen.
And then also, if you listen to Let's Talk Hookup, you'll hear the captains calling in from on the water, and a lot of times you'll hear that noise in the back. You did it pretty well.
Yeah, there's nothing is my favorite part of when somebody calls in and hearing that sonar chirp, 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 chirping in the background. It's just there's nothing like it. And it's just such a dead background white noise until you hear what you're supposed to hear. And you've never seen a captain's head swivel back so fast. He could be in the deepest conversation telling you about the big fish that he caught the day before. And as soon as you get that knock on the sonar, it's game time.
But
a different sonar than a traditional up and down like we have.
Indeed. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
And when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. We're going to find out who's got themselves a brand new Akuma Cortez and a Fish Dope membership. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mighty 1090.
Hey, everybody. This is Captain Dwayne Diego, 4-pack charter captain, here to talk to you about Parker Boats and the good folks at West Coast Marine. When it came time to start Pinnacle Sport Fishing and get my own boat, there was only one choice. I wanted a Parker. Then there's a real good reason for it: the fishability and seaworthiness. I've been fishing on Parkers for years now, and I know the abuse they can take. Parker Marine builds a heavy-duty, industrial-strength boat, probably overbuilt, but that's what I need when we're out 12 hours a day, over 300 days a year, running charters. The guys at West Coast Marine built me one heck of a fishing boat. From the custom tower with steering and throttle controls to the backup bait pump system, my Parker 2520 XLD will deliver me to the fishing grounds reliably and safe. Take it from me. If you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, honest deal, you need to see Kevin Kelly at West Coast Marine, located at 1555 Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check them out and their inventory and information online at westcoastmarine.com.
For over five decades, Lee Palm Sport Fishing has set the standard in long-range fishing that they pioneered long ago. The Red Rooster 3 sets a new standard of excellence. The Red Rooster 3 is one of the most modern, quiet, and fastest long-range vessels in the fleet. They have handpicked the finest crew to make your trip a memorable one. The Red Rooster 3 offers trips from 3 to 18 days and runs year-round to the best fishing spots on the planet. Ride the Red Rooster 3 once and you'll be back again. Call the Red Rooster 3 at 619-224-3857 or see them on the web at redrooster3.com.
Great boats, free parking, and a fully stocked tackle shop. Just a few of the reasons Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top charter boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Eclipse, Apollo, Outer Limits, Pacific Star, Elgato Dos, Alexis, Pride, Privateer, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half, three-quarter, and full-day trips available. Check out the full-service tackle store at Seaforth Sport Fishing. And it's all run by fishermen for fishermen. 1717 Quivira Road, just off Mission Bay Drive in Mission Bay. Book online at seaforthlanding.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know: CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. All right, it's time to give away some killer prizes, first of which an Akuma Cortez 5 reel. That's going to Rich in Bradley. Next up, the Akuma Cortez, again, another Akuma Cortez 5, and a one-year Fish Dope membership. That's going to Jim in National City. Guys, congratulations. You are going to love that new gear.
Yeah, and thanks to Akuma, the good guys over there, and thanks to Captain Dave for making that happen.
Awesome,
and
buddy.
Thank you, Captain Dave. Always a great show. 2 hours goes so fast.
Yeah, that was fun.
So quick. It's unbelievable how fast it goes by.
Yeah, indeed. Well, if somebody wants to go fishing with your saltwater guide.
Well, there's two different ways. Look me up on the web at yoursaltwaterguide.com or give me a call at 949-374-0786, and we'll get you out there on the water.
All right. Very
good. Sounds good to me, buddy.
Thanks, Dave. And, of course, we'll talk to you next Saturday, or next Sunday for the fishdope.com report. And want to thank everybody out there for tuning in and joining Fish Dope, because you got to have it, right?
You have to have it. You got to be zoned in on the fish, where they're at and what they're doing.
Yeah. I want to go fishing with Dave at 20 knots on a 65-footer.
Yeah,
that sounds good to me.
I'm into that.
Stabilized.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah,
for
you
sure.
Guys have to come this year.
Yeah, got to do it. Hey, thanks for listening today. Sure appreciate it. Thanks to Dennis on the other side of the glass for doing his great work
great
over
job.
There, filling in for Adam. And we appreciate his help. And next Saturday, we're going to have Captain Jim Hughes from the Cortez in the studio.
Rambo.
A rare occurrence from one of
Rambo.
The legends of the industry, for sure. Then next Sunday, Captain Brandon Hayward from Bite Fishing Charters will be here. Talking
back
a little
from PV.
Bass. Oh, yeah, that's right. He just got back from PV. A lot to talk about. Next Saturday, next Sunday, super great shows. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week right back here on the Mighty 1090.